Welcome back to Cargumentative, a show where four grown, grumpy men play matchmaker on our producer's Tinder. And, of course, talk about cars and all things automotive.
And tires.
And Mark got a match for producer Paige.
Yeah. Who was it? Kevin. What is his name?
Timmy.
Yeah. Timmy.
A pilot from the East Coast.
Mateus.
And Timmy.
But who is the guy with the cat?
Oh, I don't know. His name was Hrof.
A man with a cat shows sensitivity. A man with a cat shows layers. Yeah. Depth.
Yeah, that was my first go on Tinder. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Good luck, Paige.
Yeah, good luck, Paige. Lots of chat coming your way tonight. So, guys, news. You like SUVs,
no,
I think.
No.
Don't you?
No.
Somebody does. Somebody owns one. Mike does.
Yeah, is a Pajero considered an SUV?
No,
it's a proper...
It's a 4x4.
It's a 4x4, yeah.
It's a 4x4.
We each own SUVs, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
If you think about it.
Mine's not.
It's a 4x4. SUV.
I mean,
Pajero's an SUV.
It would definitely be called an SUV, but I mean, it's a proper off-roader.
Yeah.
Yours.
What have you got? Tell them.
Evoque.
Sure. And the Dove?
I've got a blown-up A3. It's called an RSQ3.
Yeah.
Do you get a subscription to Grindr when you buy an Evoque?
What, to the Evoque?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm
very comfortable in my own sexuality. Right. I don't need a manly car to make me look tough.
Actually, it's my car of choice.
Says the man with a Diablo downstairs.
Yeah, but I can just be easily, just as easily be in a white Evoque.
Okay.
Hold on. Speaking of Mike's cars, we need to discuss what happened after the studio last week.
Yes, should we do that before the news?
I think we do, because that's a bit of news.
That is newsworthy.
Yeah, so we were making a bit of fun about his car.
Oh, Mike's
on the show
Mike's
last
new
week. Oh, like, I was ripping into it a bit. Yeah. Mike defended it. It was amazing.
It was amazing, and it corners brilliantly, and I just wanted to say this. I'm not going to bash the guys who built it, because they've been unbelievable, and the way that they've responded with the problem that did ensue. Okay.
Well, I should hope so.
Well, yes, we'll get to that. Five minutes after we left here. Last time we were here, Mike phones me. How's it? I'm on the side of the highway in a not very safe place. Please hurry.
I didn't whine. I was very manly about it.
It let you down.
And granted, there was a vagrant sleeping next to me. As
well. He was entertained. He's like, what's going on? Yeah. Here's a strange man and the strange bus.
So, not wanting to get my hands dirty, I phoned the Dove.
So can I let me just set the scene. Because what actually happened was, the bus has been a labor of love to get this built by Fuel Customs, and they've done a really good job. It's a Martini Racing liveried 77 bay window combi. And it actually was going brilliantly. And going up the M1, it threw a Conrad.
What did the Dove say? It put a...
It's called, the official term is putting a leg out of bed.
Put a leg out of bed.
I think that's a racing term.
Is it?
It put a leg out. That's what they say.
Or it's otherwise known as...
You can correct me.
Or an electrical fault. It's when the Conrad goes through the alternator.
Exactly.
Anyway.
But that's a proper engine failure. That's kind of cool.
I'm like a Formula One driver now. Like, I blew an engine.
When we asked Mark what it was revving at, he told us it doesn't have a rev counter.
Ah.
The radio was full blast.
It was probably full blast.
And it was buzzing. So he doesn't know. Probably about 11.
I actually even remember... I wasn't going, there were still people coming past me on the highway.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't mean it wasn't going 11,000 RPM.
It's a Beetle engine, so I don't think it revs over
when
4.
When I got to the thing, it was still glowing at the back where the engine is.
Serious, was it?
So we don't want to labor this too much, but it was quite entertaining. So I called Mark and I said, listen, I've only got 4% left on my phone, which is a problem in itself. But Mark came there in his Carrera 3.2, and we called Nadav. Nadav went to get, and this is so embarrassing.
Oh dear!
He went to get a Land Rover, a Land Rover with
all
a tow
vehicles
rover.
In the world.
Yeah, and we
didn't break down again.
I was thinking to myself, and it was actually the first time I've ever been towed behind a vehicle.
Well. You did really well, Mark.
Yeah, which was required a skill, and I thank to Mr. Paluta for prepping me.
He's been towed
to
many
do.
Times. Yeah,
yeah.
I have Italian cars.
You were quite surprised that I'd never been towed before.
I was.
Yeah, well, it's just because they always go on flatbeds. and then to add insult to injury, as we got it into the garage, closed the door and the sliding door fell off.
It was an amazing evening.
We're sorry, Mark.
I'm sorry I wasn't there.
So you knew about it. You just didn't come and help.
Yeah. Well, I said you guys need help. You said, and nobody answered. You know, I just got these cryptic videos.
We always need help. We need help through life generally.
No. Producer Paige didn't come to help either. So you know.
I do have a newfound respect for a one day to be discussed sacred cow, the Land Rover Defender 90. It was.
It's a Defender 90.
Yeah.
What year is that thing?
1990.
2011.
It could be 1975.
It's a 2011. It's a 2.4 diesel.
Nice. Who makes that engine? Ford.
It's a Ford engine.
That's why it survived.
And still, I think, I really don't think I'd be far wrong by saying that thinking of all the cars that are ours here this evening, I honestly think over the last 3 years it's been the most reliable of them all. Nothing has happened to it. It doesn't even leak. And we've mentioned it before.
If it doesn't leak, it doesn't have any oil.
The Landy wins again, I'm afraid, as much as we love to hate it. It's,
well, here you go. I mean, so segueing from the Landy back to the SUV, which is what I was going to talk about. Yeah. So some proper news.
Oh, apologies.
Hyundai, they just released a new SUV.
Is that the one with the very thin lights at the front? Like almost like strip LED
lights. It looks kind of like the Kona, but this one's called the Venue.
The Venue.
I'm going to meet you at the Venue.
V-E-N-U-E.
Like a strip club. The Venue. Wasn't there a strip club called the Venue, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
I'm not sure. Why would you ask me?
Everyone's looking at Mike.
No, that's just a terrible name for a car.
It's ridiculous.
Why do
the Venue?
I know that. That's what we'll call
it. Surely you should run that past your English team.
Yeah. Lost in translation.
Yeah.
Can we discuss what is Kona?
The Kona.
Because I was stuck
behind. The Hyundai Kona.
I know what it is, but I was stuck behind one wondering about that like awful name. The name is worse than Venue.
I quite like it. It's named after a place in Hawaii because, well, why not? And it's also a brand of mountain bikes.
Hang on. So the Venue, does that replace, is that like the iX35 shape sized?
No, it's the smallest one.
Oh, the smallest, okay.
So that must mean it's smaller than the Kona.
That's pretty small.
I'm looking at a picture of it. Is this it?
Yes, that's it.
Now, interesting that its shape is very similar to the Merc that we talked about on our chat yesterday. So.
Maybe you were drinking tequila last night.
I was.
Yeah, well, that's probably why.
Hanging balls, actually.
It's not a bad looking car.
Is that the end of the news about it?
No.
Is there anything else to say about it?
1.6 litre turbo engine.
Oh, wow.
But why would we be discussing it? Is there anything?
Because it's news, you know, and as a relevant podcast show.
But is it news?
Yeah, is it really?
How much will it cost?
I do not know.
Is it relevant?
200,000 rand too much, probably.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's like 100 rand, you guys will be complaining.
No,
ridiculous.
But it'll come well equipped.
I'm looking at a picture. I found a picture.
It is well equipped now.
It'll have everything.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's cuck.
Wow.
No. I think it's not bad.
I think we should move on.
What else?
I don't know.
It's very American style, eh? You can see this is for the US market.
I agree with
Suzuki.
What about Suzuki?
We like Suzuki. Let's talk about Suzuki.
We drove Suzukis around the Nürburgring.
A good Japanese company.
Yes, they make good cars.
Unfortunately, they've just had a massive recall. Recall 2 million cars in Japan, citing improper inspections and a series of other faults, including false fuel efficiency data. Do you know how much this is costing them?
No. Mm-hmm.
10 billion rand.
Wow. Mm.
Sure.
That's like if you sign another one of those leases that you signed last week.
He'd just forgotten about that.
I'd almost forgotten about it.
That's quite hectic, though.
It's pretty hectic.
But I suppose what it could do for the brand is worse.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, luckily, they've got
In automotive terms, in car companies, that's not necessarily that much money. But the reality of it is, all these manufacturers bullshit about their fuel figures.
If it's not a safety recall and the cars are actually reasonable cars, then fudging the fuel economy is...
Yeah, but they must have fudged it quite badly if they're recalling, because they know they all do it. So theirs must be really overstated. But anyway.
They've got the might of Toyota behind them.
They do.
Do they?
And I
didn't know that.
They're part owned or fully, wholly owned by Toyota, so there's a lot of money there.
With the platform sharing that there is nowadays, there are only four cars probably.
And they won in the world. They won the MotoGP on Sunday, which, well done.
We've got about 15 seconds of news time left, so I'm just going to run through it quickly.
What did you want
to
say?
I wanted to say, can you guess what the number one car is when it comes to auction resale values in SA?
Auction resale? Auction. BMW 3 Series?
No, Renault Kwid.
Oh, wow. Oh.
How weird is that?
Because it starts off so cheap.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, who would want to buy that anyway?
What is a Renault Kwid?
It's like a Datsun Go, but even worse.
Yeah. But what are they talking about? Percentage of drop,
well, when you
of
go to a,
yeah, probably. Yeah. Recovering your bucks on auction.
Squeeze in more news.
All right, so I'm squeezing it in. Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
Again, is the world's best-selling sports coupe of 2018, selling 113,000 cars worldwide.
We think it's great value.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
2019 World Car of the Year. Do you know what that was?
No.
It was announced yesterday.
World Car of the Year.
World Car. The best car in the world.
Across all...
Yes.
Okay.
Jaguar I-Pace.
Really?
Really.
Sure. Wow. Oh. I actually sat in one at Angela's Picnic.
Yeah.
Did you see
good car.
I was impressed, yeah.
I saw it, yeah.
It was nice.
Ridiculously expensive, but nice.
Well,
to drive.
You said probably because of all the taxes, yeah.
Mm. The Dakar Rally. You guys like the Dakar?
Yes, it's moving to Middle East.
It's moving from South America to the deserts of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes, from 2020. That's the new home of the Dakar.
So it started in Africa, went to South America.
Now it's gone into the Middle East.
So it's still not anything near Paris-Dakar?
No.
Uh-huh.
But the fuel is cheap.
Yes.
I wonder why they're moving it from South America. It was successful there. And they've changed the route, and they've... anyway.
There were safety concerns.
From when?
From next year, 2020.
Oh, 2020. Okay.
There were safety concerns recently.
In South America?
Yeah. There were other issues. Logistics, I think, is quite difficult.
It is.
To get,
I suppose a lot of the teams are based in Europe.
Yeah.
So
it's closer.
Yeah. Okay, makes
sense.
It's
probably good. If it's cheaper, it'll probably attract more people.
Sponsors,
yeah.
There actually was the... on the Dakar, there was that... little segment we saw where Fernando Alonso drove one of the Toyotas.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool, and they got him to say something in Afrikaans.
Oh, yeah, that was brilliant, yeah.
Have a look at that on YouTube.
Yeah, it was cool.
I don't think any of us can speak Afrikaans. Can we?
Of course I can.
Can you?
Sure.
Got lots of Afrikaans friends.
Okay.
Khanet.
I can't.
Is that it for the news, Tom?
I've actually got some good Afrikaans jokes,
but
we can't say it on
radio. Yeah, that is it. Unfortunately, I'm getting death stare.
Okay.
I'm getting a death stare from producer Paige. So we're going to take a quick break and feed her something, and we'll return to have a big argument.
Great.
Young people are making their mark. Get up! Yenza umehluko ngempilo yakho.
Tune into the Sebenza Live Behind the Hustle podcast every Tuesday to find out more about what fascinating careers are out there. You can find us on the Sowetan Live website,
or you can follow us on Twitter on Sebenza Live.
Sebenza boy.
Sebenza girl.
Sebenza.
Yavamdana.
Welcome back to Car Argumentative. You guys love that, huh?
Yeah, welcome back.
I studied a long time at journalism school. I just get that intro so well.
You did it so well.
It's good. No one else can do it like you.
No, I know. That's why I'm still here.
What are we back about?
We're going to argue, because this is something that, you know, in car culture, if you like cars, you know, you automatically... supposed to like sports cars, fast cars, mean cars, you know, that kind of stuff.
Cars that shoot fire.
Yeah, exactly. And cars like the Prius, the Toyota Prius, that's kind of looked down upon as like this bastard child, this terrible anomaly that people who like cars.
I went in my first Prius about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I caught an Uber in London.
Yeah.
And we went in fully electric mode.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Electric motors. And what's nice about it is you get the best of both worlds, because you get a car that can do a little bit of electric driving when you need it to do it, and then you can still go a fairly long distance. So, I mean, you could get into a Prius and go down to Cape Town.
So do we need a bit of context?
That's where you come in.
I always do that.
You are the contextualizer.
We come from the middle always. We start from the beginning. So the Prius... I don't know if it was the first production hybrid, but it was the first successful production.
It was the first
hybrid.
Mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, hybrid cars go back to like the late 1800s, basically. I mean,
and explain what a hybrid is.
Right. So, a hybrid means that it's got more than one type of propulsion. So, a petrol engine and an electric motor. In the case of the Prius, there's other combinations that are possible. The Prius itself successfully, in the mainstream for the first time, combined an electric motor and a internal combustion petrol engine, and there's a battery. So the way it works is that the engine and the braking recharge the battery so that you can use that electricity to drive the electric motor, and you can also choose how to drive it. So for a while it can drive in electric only mode.
Correct.
How far can the current one go in electric only?
I'm not too sure.
Is it like 20Ks, 40Ks, 100Ks?
No, it's not like that. Well, I mean, if you get the plug-in hybrid version, it's longer, but we don't get that yet.
So where are we now? We're on the Generation 4 facelift. It's been around for a while.
It's been around since 97.
Okay.
Yeah.
And look, is this a hybrid where the engine charges the battery only, or does the engine drive the wheels?
The engine also drives the wheels.
Okay.
So it's not a generator engine, it's an
actual propulsion. BMW i3 is like that.
Right? Yeah, on the range extender version.
Range extender.
It's just that it charges.
So it's like a generator, that's all it does, yeah.
So basically with the hybrid, the hybrid system on the Prius, you can have it electric only, or you can drive it normally where the electric motor fills in.
It's like a
torque fill.
So one of the best arguments I've heard for the Prius is it kind of, it started a revolution, and it probably gave birth to things like the LeFerrari and the Porsche 918 Spyder and the McLaren P1, which are all the same kind of hybrids, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, there's so many hybrids out on the market.
Yeah, it's like every other car is a hybrid now.
So you could basically call it like the godfather of
Genesis.
Yeah, the Genesis.
Maybe we need to boil it down a bit again, because to say that, so why is hybrid good?
That's a good question.
So you can argue it in two ways. So the P1 LaFerrari 918 Spyder, they use the hybrid electric drive to improve their performance.
Yeah.
Okay, so electric motors have maximum torque from 0 RPM as opposed to something like a naturally aspirated or a turbocharged engine that have... A naturally aspirated engine will be peaky, so the power
builds
will come
up to
late.
That point, yeah.
A turbocharged engine will have turbo lag. So in all of those, the electric motor can be set up to fill those kind of gaps of the combustion engine and improve the performance of the car. The Prius would be the other argument, where you can use the electric motor to improve not the performance but the efficiency. So if we're using the same energy that we're going to lose from some petrol and putting it back into the car, the whole thing becomes more efficient. We need to use less petrol because we can save some of the energy that would normally be lost.
So on that point, can a Prius be driven in a way that both electric motor and petrol motor work together to give you more power?
Yeah.
So it does.
So like you've got...
And I think, as far as I understand, that's been the drama with this thing so far, is that as soon as you start pressing on, it does exactly that, but your fuel economy goes for a ball of...
rubbish.
Because in the end,
yeah, I mean, I suppose you have to drive it very conservatively to squeeze the savings out of it. If you start to drive it in any kind of anger, it's not economical anymore. Well, maybe it'll be slightly more economical, but then we've got the whole other, which we touched on last week, that can of worms of the carbon footprint of the car before it even arrives here.
So this is what we're going to hopefully get to, because that's my argument.
But the issue
is that when you start pressing on in a Prius, then you're starting to use the combustion engine on its own. Problem with that is that you've now got a pretty big car with a pretty small combustion engine. You're lugging the weight of the battery and of the electric motor. And so that's when it starts to become less efficient than if the motor was perhaps on its own in a smaller car that didn't have to accommodate all this tech, etc. And then, so in other words, as you say, you really have to drive it appropriately to get the most out of it.
Well, you drive it what it was meant to do. Yeah. I mean, it's like saying I'm going to go to Builder's Warehouse in my Lamborghini Diablo.
Which right. Mark does all the time.
Which I've done.
And use the toolie box on top of it to cram stuff in. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like okay. certain cars have certain applications. Like right. certain tools are used for certain jobs. Okay. You know,
that's, so it's a tool car. So it's designed for what? For the runaround?
For city driving.
It's basically designed.
But is it not a bit big for that? That's exactly my point. So now here's a car that's kind of designed to whiz around the city and be efficient.
But I think it's a family city car. So yeah, it can accommodate the family. And you've got your mountain bike.
Mountain bike, which I went to go and collect. And you don't have to take the back wheel off, which is quite impressive.
It's pretty big, yeah.
So it's got tires for a mountain bike.
So. No, I did that last month.
Okay, expensive.
So at a point in time...
expensive.
At a point in time, you have to let me loose. You have to let me loose at a point in time.
Are you holding back?
I'm very much holding back.
Oh, no, please, take it away.
Well,
do it.
Take it away. Okay. Tell everybody why you hate the Prius so much.
Okay, so the thing about the Prius, in my opinion, the only thing that it's got is fuel economy. And if you go and factor in the increased price over another car, I'm telling you that on ownership cycle, it's not cheaper to own. And the reason I say this is if it were the case, you would see Ubers being used all the time with it. I'm 100% certain that it doesn't have the cheaper ownership overall.
Well, it costs more to buy. So exactly. So an Uber driver who wants to get out there and make as much as he's going to say, well, listen, Prius is 460,000 Rand. I can buy myself a Quest or a demo Quest for like under 200,000.
Even second-hand ones. The argument is still. So, and whether you're an Uber driver or whether you're a normal person, the same thing must apply. The reason I'm drawing on an Uber driver is that their running costs are so important in this whole thing. So they're looking at overall ownership costs. And even overseas, you'll see Priuses, but they're not absolutely the standard. In a place like New York, it's sort of like mandated that you have to have certain amount of cars that are electric and stuff like that. But here's the thing.
You know, that gets the benefit of congestion tax and that kind of thing in big cities. Absolutely. So that's why they use it as well.
So I'm looking at it like this, and I'm saying, if you are a person who is a non-enthusiast, it's a contemplation. Because if you're going to drive this car, you're going to have to drive it and hypermile it the whole time. Otherwise, there's no point because it's heavier, so it's not going to handle like it should. It's definitely not going to handle a comparable car, same size petrol engine. It'll never handle like that. And then what you've got is the look of the thing, and which is just we're going to get to that. But I'm saying like the cost of it, like if you're going to start breaking out and driving hard, you're going to end up with fuel economy that's the same as the other thing.
So what about the cost of maintenance when it comes time for your batteries to be replaced?
Absolutely.
And they have a life cycle. And I know we spoke about this yesterday.
Yeah, we touched on it. I mean, we looked at
Toyota batteries aren't too expensive.
No, it's like 28,000
Rand. But of an i3, which is in that article as well, it's half the price of the car.
Yeah.
The new car.
So you might as well just sell it in your drawer, like an old cell phone. Exactly. Just put it in the drawer.
Sorry, I sounded irrational there. I just slipped into like that. It doesn't look good, but I will get onto that now.
But it's sculpted by the blade of efficiency.
It's not. Right. It's honestly.
Blade of efficiency.
We'll get onto
sculpted
this now.
It's sculpted by a blind person.
It's not. It's for aerodynamics. Nadav.
I think if you... So just to go back to what we were saying about the hybrid system providing efficiency, the argument, I think, for the Prius that's spilled over into the sort of general public layman side rather than the automotive side is the fact that it's environmentally friendly. And that's absolute nonsense. So that's the thing. So here's the problem that I have with the Prius. If you buy one, you're selfish.
You clap baby seals.
You're selfish because you're buying it so that you don't have to pay for more petrol for yourself. But actually what you're doing is you're buying one of the dirtiest cars that you can possibly imagine. Number one, you've shelled out for a new car. Doesn't matter what new car it is. It costs an enormous amount of energy and greenhouse gas just to produce. Whether it's a Prius or a Porsche, it doesn't actually make a difference.
Agreed.
Now, in the Prius, you've taken horrible lead acid, whatever they are, batteries. You've shipped them from a different manufacturer on the opposite side of the world. What is the carbon footprint of those things? Are they recyclable? What are you going to do with these batteries?
Yeah.
The only thing that you're doing is you're saving money for yourself, maybe on petrol, and we've already agreed that you could probably spend less and use the less money for the
petrol. By just being frugal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. So you're buying it. This whole environmental thing is actually, in my opinion,
you're ruining the world.
I think it's a sham. I think it's a sham.
Prius drivers are ruining the world.
No, absolutely. It's a sham. Yeah, they're killing seals. They hate everybody. And then also, you have to wake up in the morning and look at that thing.
There's nothing renewable about it.
Honestly, Greenpeace should look at the Prius owner and say, "You, my friend, are single-handedly destroying the earth."
That's right. But you can say that about any number of hybrid cars.
It's wantonly ugly.
You could. Like a LaFerrari.
And you should.
A 918.
But at least
No.
The Prius is offensive looking.
I think it's innocuous looking.
It hurts my eyes.
It's not something you're going to put up on your wall.
Well, listen, we are going to have a poll about this week. Is
the new Prius ugly?
Yeah. We know what they're going to say anyway.
Is there a chance you're going to get laid if you have a Prius?
Yes. That's the question.
No, that's the question.
I don't know, but you know, look,
maybe a Mercy one.
You might, but she's going to have hair under her arms.
A Mercy one
could be. But I think, I mean, I like to see myself as a car guy, and I never used to like the Prius when I was younger, because I was just, you know, young, aggressive.
Now you're old.
Now I've kind of matured, and now, to me, whenever I drive one, it makes a lot of sense, because we're stuck in this shitty city, which is just wall-to-wall traffic, bumper-to-bumper, rush hour.
I completely buy that argument. Yeah. And you know what? As a second-hand car, like you pitched the Tercel yesterday, with the battery replacement price not being too high, it's a proposition.
Yeah.
But to go and buy a new one,
no. I mean, I think, you know, it is expensive, and they don't seem to hold their value very well. So People are scared of the cost of replacing batteries
and
electric motors. Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, you know, I've had mine, I got it yesterday on test, and I did 200 Ks yesterday, and I was doing 3.5 litres per 100.
But surely the new one is more efficient than the one it replaces. So no one wants the older one.
Progressively.
Exactly. But technology's come along.
The other good news is that the new one, the facelift, is actually better than the pre-facelift. I think the pre-facelift Prius is one of the most ugly cars ever produced.
It was like Medusa. Definitely. It was the Medusa of cars.
I don't know.
This one's from only behind. Just,
I think they're all pretty ugly, terrible.
That not just as wantonly, horribly ugly as the previous one.
I think we've spoken about Priuses for way too long.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you have to go up to this thing, and it looked terrible in the pictures, but I can't believe how bad it looks.
I'm trying not to look at it.
It's terrible.
So, Mike, when, like, if there is a hell, do you think that hell would be you trapped inside a Prius forever?
Yes.
Just going around and around and around.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's probably, you if you went into out. A corner, can you imagine how much understeer that thing's got?
Well, if I lived at a Ascari on a racing resort, I might think that would be a problem. But I don't. I live in Joburg, which is basically just stop-start traffic all the time.
No. And you correctly said that your 200 kilometers that you did, 3.6 liters, you're using, what did we say?
Well, it was like 7 liters.
Of what?
Yeah,
I
7 liters of
7
fuel
liters to do 200 Ks.
It's brilliant.
It is.
It is amazing.
It is really good. I think I used that amount of petrol in the Diablo on the way here tonight.
Yeah. Using and a quarter of what I use. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
And there's something quite cool about trying to get that done.
I don't know. I think you're pushing the coolness now.
No, it's not. I think that's drive a stretch. Drive and you'll see. That's
a bit of a stretch. No, there's nothing cool about it.
It's playing a game. It is. How little can I get away with?
Did you? I know why you really want a Prius. So you can save money to buy new tires.
And service mountain bikes.
Exactly.
And on that, we're going to have a quick break. And we'll be back with you guys shortly.
Man, this aircon is racist.
For the latest political news
and in-depth discussion and analysis
on events making headlines in South Africa's socio-political space,
join myself, Amil Amra, and my comrades from the Sunday Times Politics Desk for our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. You can find new weekly episodes on the Times Live website every Wednesday.
This is not a shame.
Can you please come in?
Welcome back to Cargumentative. Why are you laughing? What are you doing? Funny. What is so funny?
I'm just laughing.
You're giving me a voice complex now, you know?
No, it's not you.
Okay.
It's me.
It's you. Okay. I'll buy that.
Children. What are we doing in this segment, Tom?
Well, Uncle Mike wants to have a rant because he's feeling very feisty. He's in his purple crush t-shirt.
It's been at least an hour since he had a tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. No, I'm particularly feisty tonight. I'm hanging from last night after watching football. Nice. My mates, tequila.
What's in your mind, good. Uncle Mike?
Mm. So I've got a bit of a rant about South African roads, and there are a couple of things that I've got particular problems with. Now, I just want to start off by saying that it's not. And remember, I get to talk for how long? 2 minutes. Two and a half minutes.
Maybe 3 minutes if you're lucky.
All right, cool.
If it's good enough.
Without interruption. Okay. So, and then go. You guys can hopefully agree with me.
And go.
But essentially, so, as I say, I will qualify what I'm about to say that, you know, I think our roads are reasonably good condition. And actually, whilst there is bad driving, particularly from taxis and things like that, it also presents an opportunity for us to drive a little bit more spiritedly than we would be allowed to in other countries. So I don't think it's as simple as just complaining about everything on the roads. But there are two things that I've noticed recently that are just absolutely pissing me off. So the first one involves taxis. And I don't know what's happened, but I accept that taxis do stop all over the place. That I get. And to be honest, it's a mode of transport that's very important to our transport system here.
And our economy.
Yeah, and our economy. I mean, it basically gets everyone mobile. But I don't understand why taxis have to stop to let people out across an intersection. So like they could stop 5 meters down the line and not block you getting across the intersection. Now, I don't know if the taxi drivers are looking for passengers down the road or what it is. To me, it seems more logical to stop next to a pavement because the person getting out doesn't have to get down as far.
Yeah.
And you're not blocking other people trying to get across the intersection. So that's my first rant. The second one, there's something that's going on that I've seen that is just, I mean, to me, it seems like absolutely almost like attempted murder. And I'm not even being funny. So quite often I see traffic lights tilted so that certain of them are facing a different direction. So it seems like it could be maybe even a tow truck that has set these things so you get a bit confused as to whether it's green for you or not.
It's like a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
I've actually,
I mean, that is seriously, seriously dangerous. I mean, like, you go through there with a car coming the other way. I mean, you know, with a robot, you don't treat it like a stop street. You expect if it's green for you, you can go. Now, if you happen to be going through and another car's going through, I mean, you can talk about a seriously monumental accident. So those are my two rants about some phenomenons that are happening on South African roads. And I'm seriously losing my sense of humor with these things.
Well, I mean, those 45-degree traffic lights, I've noticed two of them on my commute. And you kind of, hang on, is that for me or is it for the other guy?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
And I don't know. I mean, it could be some kind of force, a tow truck company, a devious tow truck company.
Yeah, it's probably what it is.
It's the kids.
Devious kids.
Devious
millennials.
The kids, blame the kids. Yeah. Mm. Blame the millennials.
But I'll tell you what, I got into motorbikes last year and that taught me, when that light goes green.
Don't you go onto motorbikes?
What did I say?
You got into
motorbikes. You can't do that.
Well, no, I got into the habit of.
You got into the transport of.
You must be more clear.
Yeah. You must be less pedantic.
Anyway, your point is even more dangerous on a bike.
No, my point is just don't trust the lights because people just jump lights all the time. And that drives me crazy.
Yeah.
That is giving me
I absolutely support your rant. And I could even add one more and say that taxi drivers driving on the wrong side of the road has become something that they do in Joburg now as well. It's not as dangerous. You see it coming. They look for a gap and they go, but it's just terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do we do about it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can do much about it. No. I mean,
the problem is there's no law enforcement.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, and even if there is, they turn a blind eye to that because they're not going to get anywhere with that.
No, exactly. What are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, you're not even going to get a bribe.
Well, we probably have to have a whole segment on this whole new auto demerit system. We're going to have
They've
to talk about it.
They've been threatening for that to come in for years.
Since I was a lad. since I was in my youth. Yeah. That's always been hanging over
us. I don't think they'll
Didn't you matriculate 3 years ago?
I can't remember.
They could never enforce it. They could never enforce
it. Well, I'll tell you what it's going to do is, if they can enforce it, can you imagine what it's going to do to bribes? Oof, the cops must be...
Oh, yeah, that's why they won't be able to enforce it. Because
loving this. Like, because now you get pulled over for even a small thing. Now you have to actually get... To not get the fine.
Because you could lose
before,
your license.
Yeah, before it's like, give me the fine, probably not going to pay it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to chase you for the cash.
Sorry,
yeah.
I don't advocate this at all.
But now you stand a chance to lose your license. So imagine how much more desperate people will be. Yeah, is what you're trying to say.
So I saw a thing was a tongue-in-cheek article about it, saying if you don't have a license, like, you get a whole lot of demerit points. So, or you get fines. But you lose your license. It's not really going to make a difference to a lot of the people on the road.
Yeah, who has a license these days?
While I'm at it, can I add one more little rant? I've noticed people driving cars with an L plate in the window, and there's one person in the car.
Maybe the person's just very short in the passenger seat.
No, it isn't. It's the parent driving.
No.
The car. Yeah.
No. I've seen it suspiciously slow driving, looking like a learner.
Well, people do drive suspiciously. I mean, Uber drivers must all be learners then, because they all drive very, very slowly.
No, but they don't have L plates. Maybe they should.
Maybe they should. You know what I'd love is if Uber cars were branded. I mean, we all know that a Toyota Corolla
is
an Uber
car.
But I think they should brand them, because we could avoid them more easily, because they've become a hazard in themselves.
Yeah.
But then the taxi drivers would just torch them all.
That's true. Yeah. You can't do it.
At least the guy can deny being an Uber driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one day when my dreams do come true and I actually do get a white Corolla 1.4 diesel, I'll be cruising through Santon on the way to pick my mother up from the car train station, and I'll get dragged out and my car will be set on fire. Yeah. And I'll say, no, but I'm not an Uber driver, I promise.
I thought you were going to say that someone strange would climb into the car.
It could be as well. Is that too? But maybe that's good. I could do moonlighting.
I actually wish Ubers were electric, because you wouldn't get... Because they all try and change gears at about 1,200 RPM.
And they go up hills in fifth.
Exactly. Because and the car's jerking. If it was electric, at least you wouldn't get there. I've nearly vomited a few times in an Uber.
Yeah.
And actually stopped them to let me out to catch another one that knew how to drive.
Last night, I swear, I nearly threw up in the Uber.
It's terrible.
Well, that was on the way back from drinking a lot of tequila in Paris.
It wasn't the driver.
I nearly threw up in an Uber, but not because the driver was bad, but just because it was such a disgusting cab. Like, it was an Etios sedan. And it was just
like your Etios.
It was just fabric stained and stuff.
So just for all our listeners, Thomas is actually a germaphobe. So
I am.
So did you throw away your jeans and t-shirt?
Well, okay, guys. Well, let's put a positive spin on this for a minute, right? Okay. So we're ranting about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. It's not coming out.
Not that you can put a positive spin on a stained interior. No. That's not what I mean.
Or even a stained exterior.
But, you know, Thomas, you drove past a couple of top lights that had been moved, supposedly, on your commute.
My 45-degree traffic
lights.
Your
45-degree traffic lights. What did you do about it?
Well, what can you do about it?
Did you report it to anyone?
No, but I have got something that's quite cool.
What about the Uber that you were so upset about, the cabin?
Did you report it to anyone? I said I had to use all of my waterless hand sanitizer. and as you know, I am in journalism, so that hurts my pocket and my bottom line.
Just don't accept what you see. You know, you can. There's means and ways to communicate
there
your
is.
Issues.
And there is a cool thing. There's the JRA app.
Yes.
The Johannesburg Road Agency app, which is actually very cool. So if you open it up, okay, and you happen to be outside Nadav's house and you notice a big pothole, you can actually take a photograph of it and say pothole, and then it automatically uploads the picture of it and the location to JRA. And I did that the other day. There was a big, like a miniature Grand Canyon. just opposite the Nando's here in Parktown. Mm-hmm. And I took a photograph of it and I sent it in. And literally a day and a half later, it was fixed. The guys came.
Oh, that's brilliant info. And, I'll download that now.
It's actually really, really good. And they've got preset things.
What's it called? Just JRA?
JRA. Stormwater drainage, signage, manhole covers, pothole, traffic signal, general.
Can you bust someone? Because in Singapore,
a bribery app. So you take a photograph of the man handing the other man, the police officer, a
1,000 rand note.
1,000 rand note and a 1,000 rand coke. And you can just 1,000
rand coke.
Yeah.
In Singapore, the citizens take photos of people doing things. Those snitches.
What kind of things?
Like
kinky
going,
things.
Going.
Maybe.
Quite possibly. But if you're crossing a white line or doing something illegal in the car, they take a photo and then they flip and give you a fine. But those snitches, eh?
Well, those I think it's snitches. Good. I think certain things in society should be. I think we should use social media to kind of, you know, weed those evils away. Out. Evils out. Weed things out.
Weed things out.
Weed things out.
Weed things out. You've got nice weeds in your garden. We should weed them out.
How do you know?
I know.
No, you don't.
It was my garden.
I don't know. You don't have anything to rant about, do you?
It was Mike's rant, and I really do feel strongly that if you do see something like an Uber, I've had a lot of experiences where strange noises in the Uber, warning lights, evidence of accident damage. Please don't accept it. This is, you've paid for this.
Weren't you in an Uber yesterday? You told us.
Yeah, you nearly ran out of petrol.
I was in an Uber. He picked me up. The tank was empty. Okay, the light was flashing, and the distance readout read -++. I could see that from where I was sitting.
Maybe it was
and
a Prius. We had a,
it was.
Nadav wishes it was a Prius.
I wish it was a Prius. And we had a sort of a 20-kilometer drive in traffic, and I was stressed that I wouldn't make it, and that we'd stop on the side of the road, and we'd be in the middle of nowhere, and I don't know what to do. Anyway, he didn't seem to mind, and we did make it, but I don't know if that's acceptable.
I think he made it back to his next planet.
Well, I don't know.
It's brilliant.
How long does he drive around on Fitz for?
Did he get a negative rating by you?
He didn't get a great one. But
did you actually say you nearly ran out of petrol?
Yeah, I did.
I honestly would have paid.
That's stressful. Why should I have been particularly stressed?
That runs out of gas. No, you would have lost your mind.
I could have. I need to be relaxed.
The point of the Uber is to take the stress out of motoring.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So please, there are great communication ways with the companies. There's the JRA app. If you see something that you're not happy with, I think go ahead and, you know, report it and
tweet it. JRA it.
JRA.
Social media the hell out of it. And, you know.
There's no point in just reporting it in a rant. Okay.
No, exactly. Stop ranting and do something proactive about it.
That's right.
Guys, I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it.
I had fun.
Me too.
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
we laughed a lot.
We did.
We laughed excessively.
It's a good thing that we don't record when we're off air.
Well, sometimes we do. Mark got so hot he
nearly fainted.
Yeah, he had to take.
He had to change shirts because it was drenched. Guys, thanks a lot for joining us. Well, joining me again in the studio. It's always a pleasure to have you.
We were here too.
I know. Yeah. I said that. I said thank you for joining me.
To the audience.
Well, a little bit of both.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
And it is a long weekend. People are going to be out driving long distances. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid and keep your following distance. And don't squeeze into another person's following distance. That's my final rant for the night.
Fine. And stay out of the fast lane.
Correct.
Because I'm coming through in that bus.
Good night, guys. Folks.
Good night.
Good night.
See you again next week.